from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Penny Nelson, and this is the California Report. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has ordered a review of the Justice Department's police reform efforts across the country, with a possible eye toward rolling them back. That has police watchdogs worried in the Antelope Valley, where a federal consent decree has forced changes at the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. KPCC's Frank Stoltz reports.
4 years ago, the Justice Department found sheriff's deputies in the Antelope Valley were engaged in widespread harassment of the mostly minority residents of low-income housing. In 2015, the sheriff agreed to sweeping reforms that are now monitored by a federal judge. They include better training and a new policy on use of force. Reverend V. Jesse Smith fought for federal intervention. He says there's been progress in the effort to end what he calls racist policing.
That still happens. To the degree that it did 4 or 5 years ago, it doesn't, but it still does occur today.
Smith says that's why he wants the so-called federal consent decree to stay in place. No comment so far from the Sheriff's Department. Attorney Jerry Chaliff oversaw the implementation of another consent decree at the LAPD. He says it was transformative.
It provides an outside view of what's going on.
Attorney General Sessions has suggested the decrees amount to unnecessary federal meddling in local police departments.
For the California Report, I'm Frank Stoltz.
Let's turn now to the state capitol. Tuesday was Equal Pay Day in the United States, marking the number of extra days women have to work this year to earn what men did last year. The California Legislative Women's Caucus marked the occasion by releasing its priorities for the year. From KQED's Politics and Government Desk, Katie Orr reports.
Working women in California earn about 80 cents for every dollar men earn. The pay gap is larger for African American and Hispanic women. To help combat that, Assemblywoman Susan Eggman has introduced a bill that would prohibit employers from asking job applicants about their salary history. Eggman says fields women have historically worked in, like teaching or nursing, tend to pay less.
Not only do we undervalue women in the workplace, but we undervalue the work that women do. So if somebody goes from a traditional women's type of employment into, say, law enforcement, if they have to look at what you were paid before and then compare it to what a man is paid, you're never going to be equal.
The caucus also sent a letter to Governor Jerry Brown asking him to continue increasing child care provider rates in the coming budget. Brown had proposed putting the increases on hold. Bills aimed at creating more family-friendly workplaces and several others promoting health and well-being are also among the priorities. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
It takes 2 years for California public school teachers to secure tenure, a job protection which essentially shields them from getting fired. But one lawmaker is renewing efforts to extend that. Here's the California Report's education reporter, Anna Tintakalis.
San Diego Assemblywoman Shirley Weber says when it comes to running a school, these are the two most important decisions.
One, the people you hire, and the people you decide to keep.
Which is why she thinks granting teachers permanent employment after just 2 years is much too short. Her bill, AB 1220, would grant tenure after 3 years on the job. School districts could choose to give some teachers another year or two for more mentoring and support.
This is one of many ways in which you can get closer to some level of certainty that you've done all you can possibly do to help this person become an effective teacher.
Teacher tenure has long been a thorny issue, and attempts to overhaul the entire process have failed, largely because the state's two most politically powerful teachers' unions believe it works.
I think the system actually works very well.
Eric Hines is president of the California Teachers Association. He says lawmakers need a focus on time for teacher collaboration, small class sizes, and up-to-date curriculum and technology.
That's where we should be putting our energy, not on this other nonsense stuff. It's all old news.
And that's why CTA is gearing up for another fight. But not all educators feel the same way. Two other lesser-known teacher groups sponsored the bill, saying it's time to make tenure a more meaningful professional milestone. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tintakalis.
Californians woke up yesterday to news of a chemical attack carried out in northwestern Syria, another episode in what seems like an endless war. At least 72 people were killed, many of them children, and more were hospitalized. It's hard for anyone to watch this on the news, but especially difficult for someone with a connection to Syria. Dr. Sali Kalaki works as a dentist in Monrovia, a suburb of Los Angeles, and Dr. Kalaki emigrated to the U.S. 35 years ago, but still has family in Syria, though not near the latest incident.
I really can't follow the news anymore. Every time I go on Facebook and I see those videotapes, it just shocks me. I see my children, my grandchildren, and I would like to tell everybody that we have a power of the voice, our voice, to use it and to tell our congressmen and women, our government, that enough is enough. We have to stop this madness. For the loss of humanity that we are facing here, and that's terrible. It's really terrible. I'm so sad. I mean, talking to you, my heart is crying. And I don't know what to say.
A robust field of 23 candidates is now down to 2 in the primary race for the Los Angeles congressional seat left open by Javier Becerra when he became the state's attorney general. Current vote tallies have State Assemblyman Jimmy Gomez and Robert Ahn, a former city planning commissioner, as the top 2 candidates in yesterday's primary in the heavily Democratic District 34. It's the first congressional primary since the November elections, and joining us to talk about where things stand after yesterday's voting is KPCC's politics reporter Mary Plummer. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Well, some of our listeners may have heard of Jimmy Gomez from his time at the State Assembly, but tell us a bit about Robert Ahn and how the candidates in general compare.
So Robert Ahn is a Korean-American. His family immigrated to Los Angeles from South Korea shortly before he was born. His success in this race is a bit more surprising. You know, people expected State Assemblyman Jimmy Gomez kind of to have the top spot. He had a lot of Democratic Party endorsements. Ahn, on the other hand, really appears to have leveraged the support of Asian American voters in the district. He's lesser known to the general public. If he ultimately wins this seat, he'd be the only Korean American in Congress.
And how do the two candidates themselves represent some of the rifts that are apparent in the Democratic Party?
So this is a district that voted for Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton last June during California's presidential primary. People had really been watching this race nationally for clues about the direction of the Democratic Party moving forward. And, you know, these two candidates are, some might call them a bit more traditional. There were 3 candidates in this race who did not make it to the runoff that really had close ties to Sanders. That was Wendy Carrillo, Arturo Carmona, and Kenneth Mejia. They seem to have kind of split the Sanders support. They all had very similar levels of support, but that left them out of the runoff.
Huh. And what were the turnout numbers like? What was the enthusiasm factor?
So early turnout numbers right now, of course, these are semi-official results. Vote-by-mail ballots are still coming in, but we're at just 9.6% of registered voters who participated. This is trending lower than some had expected. We had fairly strong early vote-by-mail numbers, but right now we're just in the single digits in terms of turnout.
And the final election is going to be June 6th. So thanks so much, Mary Plummer, for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's check back in on a major road repair bill making its way through the state legislature. $52 billion would be spent over the next 10 years filling in potholes and improving public transit. Democrats propose to pay for those fixes with an increase in the state's gas tax as well as new vehicle fees. With a vote expected on the measure tomorrow, the California Report's Danielle Venton talked with San Jose State Senator Jim Bell, who's carrying the legislation.
Good morning, Senator Bell.
Hi, how are you doing?
Nice to have you with us. Republicans agree that fixing roads is a priority, but they oppose paying for it with a gas tax hike. Last week, I spoke with Bakersfield Assemblyman Vince Fong, and I'd like to play you a little selection of what he had to say.
If you look at the amount of money that is already spent, we have the revenue in the general fund to fund our road projects and to get the job done.
So this argument that the state already has the money to enact plans to fix roads, what would you say to that? I mean, is it just a matter of priorities?
If you look at the budget, it's gone down on a roller coaster down. Now it's rised again. So for the assembly member who doesn't have, you know, he has about 3 months experience here, look at the history of the state budget. Try to figure out how you're going to get $6 billion. I would like to see exactly where the $6 billion in cuts will be. And if you did it across the board, 60% of that would come from education.
Let's turn for a moment to the more moderate Democratic lawmakers. Many of these senators or assembly members represent fiscally conservative districts or poor districts that would be especially hit by a tax hike. What's your closing pitch to those lawmakers?
We haven't had an increase in the gasoline tax in California since 1994, so there has been no inflation since then. Being a fiscally responsible person, funding the backlog without borrowing, without taking from the general fund, is a more fiscally responsible way of doing this.
Well, let's look some decades in the future. You and many of your Democratic colleagues have focused in the last couple of years on helping the environment by reducing California's consumption of fossil fuels. But this plan, the funding relies largely on people buying gas and paying that increased gas tax. So how is that going to work in the long run?
We're increasing the gas tax 12 cents to meet with what I said earlier, the inflation. But we're also charging a transportation maintenance user fee ranging from $25 to $150, depending on the value of your vehicle. So we would have a shifting of the source of funding.
Right now, Democrats have a supermajority in the state legislature, but it seems like not all Democrats are unified on this proposed tax hike. I was wondering, does this process give you any appreciation or maybe empathy for what the Republicans went through in Congress trying to wrangle votes on health care?
I think it's important that if we're going to raise revenue, that we do have the two-third votes requirement. It's tougher. So it makes us attempt to balance the various political viewpoints of the members of the legislature to achieve a two-thirds vote.
Senator Bell, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yes, thank you.
Support for the California Report comes from Robotham International, providing strategic tax, accounting, and business advisory services to global families, entrepreneurs, and venture-backed companies. Robotham.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, accepting nominations now for the 2018 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards at irvine.org.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, April 5th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson.